Thank you for tuning in to our first Lutheran Church podcast travel series. We will explore some of the faithful travel experiences members of our congregation have undertaken. I hope these discussions will inspire you to go out into the world. Bless it in the name of Jesus, and let it bless you back. All right. Well, welcome back to this podcast where we are talking about some of the travel experiences we have had at First Lutheran Church. And today we are focusing once again on our youth and young adult mission trip to Mission Jamaica. Today we have Greta with us. Welcome, Greta.
Hi.
Hi. And Greta is in high school. You're going into high school.
No, I'm going into sophomore year of high school.
All right. So Greta was part of the youth part of our trip. And I'm just curious, Greta, what inspired you to want to go on this mission trip?
I actually wasn't like really looking forward to it. I wasn't sure what to expect. I kind of get scared, nervous traveling without anyone from my family because you kind of leave that comfort. But my church family was pretty good. I was just told by my mom, oh, you're going. And so, and I kind of had to get myself excited to go. And once I started learning more about the trip, I got kind of more excited and I got more into it. And I was really motivated to see the kids at Mission Jamaica and to like go just help, be helpful, be someone to help.
That's wonderful. So could you talk about what gave you some hesitation? What were you thinking? What was your brain telling you was going to be like uncomfortable about this trip?
This was the first time out of the country without my parents or without my family or anything. It was the first time that I wasn't really with anyone I'm really close with. I mean, I guess I had like some friends, but it wasn't like necessarily like we were really close or we had gone on a mission trip before, because the previous summer we went on a mission trip. I don't think anyone from that mission trip came on this mission trip. So it was very much kind of like a scary thing, not even for what we were going to do or what we were there for, but like just going into that brand new culture with no one from back home.
Right. I mean, that's a really important thing to bring up. The social aspect of doing a mission trip is intense. And we think about the hard work or the temperature or whatever. But absolutely. Social is something that is a challenge, but also an opportunity to experience God. So will you tell us some of the things you did on this mission trip?
I got to help feed the kids at West Haven. I got to lead a devotion. I got to hang about 80 feet of gutter with John Miller.
So what was the hardest one of those that you did?
Honestly, the hardest one was probably leading the devotion or like helping with the kids.
So you like doing the physical labor.
The physical labor is not a problem for me. I'm like physically active all the time. I don't have problems like getting dirty. I don't have problems sitting on top of roofs, hanging gutters. I don't have problems with heights. I don't have problems with any of that. It was really like trying to get into those houses and like leading the devotions, because like my dad has been a pastor my whole life basically. And so like I'm always the one kind of sitting there as the pastor's daughter that kind of knows everything but never really speaks about everything. But here I was leading everything like my dad would.
Were you surprised at yourself for volunteering for that?
I was very surprised. And I thought it was a great opportunity for me to expand my horizons, because you have your dad doing everything for you, whereas now I can kind of take that step to start leading things and to start being able to like, now I can lead things personally with my friends and stuff. I'm a very good leader on like projects and school, but I never have really taken that leap into my faith journey.
So what inspired you to want to sign up to do devotions?
I don't really know. I was just, you asked me, there was an opportunity and I seized that opportunity. I didn't really, there's sometimes where I just have this random like opportunity and I'm kind of scared, but I'm like, this is a great opportunity. I just want to go do it.
Wonderful. And what was challenging Maybe we should talk first about what it means to feed the kids. And so we put kids in quotation marks because they're not all under the age of 18. But at this orphanage, there are people that have lived there their whole lives, and there's not a safe place for them to live elsewhere where they're going to be cared for the way they are. They're all disabled in some way, and so they get better care at this orphanage than anywhere else. And so talk about what made that feeding experience challenging for you.
Jeff, our kind of group kind of leader, he told us, just try and spend the first morning. I want you guys to go into the cottages and go and help. And just ask what they need help with. There's caretakers there, and you just ask the caretakers what they need help with. This caretaker handed me a bowl of like food. It was kind of like baby food almost. And led me into this room. Whereas most of my friends were feeding kids that were outside, I got led into the room with only like two kids in there. And the kid I ended up feeding was bedbound. He couldn't move. His arms and legs were all kind of tucked in and shriveled up. And his head was just laying there, and that was basically the only thing he could move was his head. And it was really like, whoa. It was very hard to like imagine this is what he lives like. And he wasn't a kid. He was definitely over 18 and like had a beard. And I was like, whoa, this is where he's been his whole life. And so it's like, it was really, I sat there as I was feeding him and I just kept thinking like how this ended up being, how like, everything about my life and comparing it to what these kids are dealing with. And like, I'm always like, oh, dang it, I got an A minus instead of an A. This kid can't even think about what A minus is. Like, he wouldn't care. He would be glad to go to school like I do, let alone think about the grades he's getting necessarily. Like, I was just very... I live in a first world country.
Absolutely. Yes. That it is definitely eye-opening to see the conditions that people live in. Did anything surprise you about what you learned while you were hanging out with the residents there?
I learned, even though there's something holding you back like that, like that's gonna affect you your whole life. That's such like a devastating, like what people think of as devastating. They didn't seem to be mind. They were happy. They were singing. They were coloring. They were having the time of their life. Even though you would like, if you were in that position as someone who has lived in a country like ours, you would be devastated if you were in that condition, but yet they still seem to have a smile on their face, be happy, dancing, singing, just everything seems like they are so happy.
Right, definitely. That's another perspective where they're teaching us.
They're teaching us.
Yes.
I was kind of scared and I was like afraid and I was kind of almost sad that I was leaving my family. And then once I got there, I was like, why were you feeling sad? That's like, this is something you're going to have fun on. But these kids, because they taught me like, even if you have something like really big weighing you down, you can still like move forward with it.
Where do you think their joy came from?
I think a lot of it came from faith. Like when it was time to sing like songs about Jesus, when it was time to dance, they were praising the Lord. Like, I've never seen it before like that. It would, like, when we kind of sing in church, we're singing along. Some of us are mumbling along. We're kind of staring off into the distance. Or like during church services, I know my brothers get really bored. But there were some kids that were like 10, 11, 12, and they were just screaming and having the time of their life. like praising the Lord.
It's full body worship.
It is. It very much
yes,
is.
Yes, yes. What did you think about the church service? We brought people to church. One thing that surprised me, I didn't realize until this trip, those people in wheelchairs don't go to church unless there are volunteers to hoist them in their wheelchairs up this rocky, gravelly, steep hill and then carry them into worship. But once we get there, it's a Pentecostal type of worship service. What did you think of the worship service?
When I was in the worship service, I started thinking. That's what I did. I started thinking, like I kind of went into autopilot with my, like, and I was just thinking. I was thinking of how sweaty and hot I am, how disgusting I feel. I have this really long dress on and I'm just like sweating a storm. I'm like, oh, this is awful. This is like as bad as football practice.
Except you always told us you were glistening.
I was always glistening.
You weren't sweating.
I was sweating quite often a few times, but I was always kind of at a constant glisten. And then I started thinking, why are you so upset that you have to carry these kids up the hill? These kids, this is like, they never get to do this. It's like you being able to have a once in a lifetime opportunity. This is like something they never get to do. This is like great for them. They aren't stuck in the same place that they've been their whole life. They're in somewhere new that they never get to experience, and we got to help them get here. You should feel happy to be able to do this and not like mad that you're sweating and carrying 200 pounds up a hill. I should be happy because I just got to help someone with something great. Like, they won't be able to do that for a very long time. And during the church service, I started looking over at them and seeing just the joy on their faces, the constant like happiness, and they were so content. And like even some of our people in our group started getting bored, but they just were happy and content the entire like 2-3 hour service. It was crazy. They were just so happy that whole time. And so it really made me think about myself and take a deep look on what I think, what I believe, all that stuff. Because it went from, I'm a hard worker, I play my sports, I put a lot of effort into everything, you know, I'm a good person, to, whoa, that's not something a good person would do. Start complaining because they have to carry someone up a hill. They never get to do that. Like, you should... It really made me take a reflection on myself.
Wow, that's pretty deep. And I'm glad that you had that opportunity to reflect. Mm-hmm. Was there any particular meaningful experience or moment you would like to share with us?
The devotions. They were it was like when I led those devotions, it was just an amazing experience all like in general. The devotions led by other people really made me think. But then once I was up there leading it, I was like, I was kind of like lost, but it just kind of worked out. I wasn't quite sure what was going to happen, how I was going to feel. And the day I led devotions, we had gone snorkeling. And I remember I compared it to, like, I remember all this dead coral we had seen. And then I saw this one sea urchin with the most beautiful colors. And I was like, that's the light. Hmm. That is the light. And so I noticed those kids. It made me think about the kids, how they don't have, there's this sea of darkness, literally a sea of dead coral, this sea of darkness. And then there's that one little sea urchin. And for them, that one little sea urchin is their faith, and that's their light. That's what keeps them going. That's what keeps them happy. That's what keeps them hopeful. That's what keeps them happy for another day, for another year, for another month. It's just those, like that one thing that they need is there, and they use it so well. They use that light to literally get them up in the morning. And that was like a crazy realization for me, because as I'm speaking this to the, like, as I'm speaking this to you guys, it made me realize I wasn't, like, I had made this connection, but I hadn't really, like, thought deeply about it until it was coming out of my mouth talking to you guys. So that was, like, the biggest, like, faith, just everything clicked in that moment. It was the biggest part of my journey in Jamaica in general.
Sounds like you learned a lot about yourself.
Yeah.
And you saw God and God's work through mm-hmm. some new eyes.
Yeah. And through those new eyes, I not only did we talk to like all those people at West Haven, because the mothers, the caretakers, they are there from Monday till Friday, they said, because of COVID. They couldn't, like, they didn't want to risk getting COVID to these kids.
Right. They don't go home to their own families. They live there.
Right. Yep. So that perspective, the perspective of the kids, the perspective of my friends learning as I'm learning as well, there's perspective like of John Miller, it was a great one I learned from. And then the perspective of the deaf community, because when we were staying, where we were staying, there was a big deaf community, there was a big gathering. And I started to actually learn sign language. And we made a really good friend, his name was JD, and he was just... It was great. I saw so many perspectives of so many different things. The deaf community really helped me understand what it's like, even if you have something pulling you back. Those kids at the home really helped me if you were pulled back by something. It's those moms, they need to work. Those caretakers, they need to work, but they can't see their family. So they're being kind of pulled back by all these things, but yet all of them are still thriving and having a great time.
Would you say you're a different person after you came back?
I feel lucky to be the way I am. Like, I am able to go and play all my sports. None of those, maybe the deaf community, but none of those, like the kids, the caretakers, anyone in Jamaica couldn't really think, unless they were wealthy, couldn't really think about even playing sports. And I sit there and start complaining because I'm sore from my sports, or that, oh man, I ran a bad time today. Like, I start complaining about those things instead of thinking I get to play sports. And so now every day that I like get up and I'm like, I don't want to get up. I don't want to wake up at 6 a.m. to go lift. I'm like, I get to go lift. I get to go get stronger. I get to go get faster. I get to go get play these fun, amazing sports. And it really helped me.
Well, thank you, Greta. Yeah. Thank you for sharing a little bit about your personal journey and your faith journey on this mission trip. And I just hope that everybody would get to have an experience like that. So let's just close this episode out with a prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us opportunities to see you through many different perspectives. And thank you for helping us to grow closer to you through each one. We pray that all of the gifts you have given to us can be used to bless the people and the creatures of this world. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.